Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come Let me think I'm getting the power. It's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
We are back from Auntie's house in BR, undisclosed location, because a lot of you wish you could be here in my presence, because my auntie is the absolute best. She already said she will not be making an appearance. Obviously, the last time she did, we kind of went viral because of this lemony twang smoothie. And it is lemony and it is twanging, baby. But I want to get right into what I feel is something that excites each and every one of you. And that is the mysterious, mythical Louisiana three-star. That is what LSU's program has been known for. That is what the state of Louisiana has been known for. And I want to talk about a young man by the name of Jace Thomas, okay? Now, why do I want to start with him? Well, per his social media, he was given an offer to LSU. And this is Jace Thomas's recruiting profile. And I want you to see, he is the 1,177th nationally ranked prospect. That's normally not the type of player that LSU is after, right? He's not even rated by 247 Sports, as you can see. But according to the composite here, On3 has him way higher. And ESPN has him way higher, even though he is a three-star. On3 has him as a top 20 prospect in the state of Louisiana. ESPN has him as a top 15, whereas his On3 composite is outside the top 30. So his recruiting ranking is going to go up. And I believe he will eventually become a four-star prospect. So I had been traveling all day and I had gotten a text saying, hey, this guy got offered. And normally when a guy gets offered, I try to be able to watch him just for a little bit. Okay, just to see if he's someone that is truly on LSU's radar. And look, I understand that the new standard at LSU will always be, and I say new standard, but the standard is the standard. LSU's recruiting has gotten better in terms of who they target. But you see his Twitter account here. He's pretty excited about getting this offer from LSU. And I want to talk a little bit about Destrehan High School and how productive it has been for LSU, right? This is a program that gave you the Jefferson Trio. It gave you Kalaje Cobbins, who might be a really good player for LSU. And the list goes on and on. Jai Eugene, a lot of you have different opinions, but his son played at Destrehan as well. And it just produces really, really good football players. I will also include that Ole Miss is the team that a lot of people feel Jace Thomas will go with, but this LSU offer probably changes some things. I do want to include one minor thing that I think is very interesting about this offer is Ole Miss picked up a Louisiana three-star defensive back, I believe from Destrehan, in this last recruiting class. I think his name was like Anthony Robertson or something like that. I wasn't able to look this up because I had to hurry up and set everything up here at a remote location. But I think LSU is also protecting its own territory. You do not want Ole Miss setting itself up and being the Destrehan High School, the same way that Amite became the Alabama High School, if you get what I'm saying. You don't want that because Destrehan produces dogs. They might not be the biggest. They might not be the fastest. They might not have the absolute best recruiting ranking, but that is a school within a 100-mile radius that you want to stay put in or plugged in with throughout your tenure at LSU. So I understand this isn't the fanciest offer. I understand that DJ Pickett is a guy that everybody wants. And even though he's not a safety as a corner, that's a defensive back that a lot of us have been focused on. And I think a lot of you have been interested in some of the other elite recruits, including Naeem Offord from a guy that's committed to Ohio State. That's another five-star corner that Corey Raymond's after. But I'm really excited about Jace Thomas. And look, I am all about the Louisiana three-star. That is the recruit that I cheer for more than anyone else, as you guys know. The Louisiana three-star that picks LSU. And I always cheer for Louisiana three-stars. It's part of the reason why I have always been a big fan of Dontavian Wicks, even though he didn't pick LSU. He didn't go to another SEC school, and he's a really good player right now in the NFL. So I want to shout out Jace Thomas. Best of luck to you, my friend. Now, I was going to go in a different direction to start tonight's live stream. I do have a pretty deep conspiracy theory, okay, about LSU's schedule. And I kind of want to run it through some back channels before I actually bring it live here to PHL. Just a small conspiracy theory. So I'm working on that. And I think it does have some legs as far as the future of the SEC and the 8-game and the 9-game conference schedule. We say hi to Haley Bryant. That is a beautiful last name, and you are a beautiful gal. Girl, can you give me your number and I'll call? That's my song. Playing that tomorrow night. So I am not in Gonzales now. I'll be in Gonzales all day tomorrow. I'm DJing a wedding. It's actually a PHLer's wedding. I'm really excited about this. And look, you know, anytime I get asked to DJ a wedding, it's my main focus for an entire day. So I'm really pumped up about that. It's good to be back home. I enjoyed dinner with my auntie. A few of you have texted me saying if I'm going out tonight, I'm definitely not. But I'm really excited to be back in God's country, South Louisiana. There's nothing better than this. There really isn't. And if you're an LSU recruit that happens to be watching this, and you're not from Louisiana, you want to be a part of the best culture in the entire United States of America. You just do. Let's go to LA, Mom. Go to Leader's Fried Chicken in Gonzales. It's pretty interesting, LA, Mom, as far as like the fried chicken game. That was our very first comment. You know, South Louisiana has kind of been known as a fried chicken place. You know, you normally think like Creole food and all of that, but it kind of ties in with that. When you think fried chicken, you just think the South in general. But you got Mama's Fried Chicken in Opelousas. It's still the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. All right. You also have, of course, Blue Store. And I have never had Blue Store. I've had Delpit's, never had Blue Store. And Now you get to Leaders fried chicken. I might check it out tomorrow. I might do that. But we go to Freddie. He says, Yuhai and Carr is more talented than Destrian. Here's something I'm not going to do. I am not going to get into that debate because that debate can get very spicy. It can get very spicy. Look, if we're being honest, St. Aug is probably number one, especially if Jakeem Thanos-Stewart is what everyone thinks he is. St. Aug has got to be number one. But I am not Robin Fambro. So I am not qualified, I feel, to answer that question. I would love to have her on. She would probably have the best opinion on this because obviously she covers every single high school in the state, or mostly in the South, but that's, you know, where a lot of the best players come from. But then again, what about West Monroe? What about, I mean, West Monroe's got to be up there, right? But I don't, that is a slippery slope debate that will always end poorly for everyone involved. So I will not get into it. But if I had to just come off the top of my head, I would say St. Aug. I would say St. Aug. Let me see. Jared, fried chicken is as good as my options. I snuck a Winn-Dixie fried chicken in the buggy. It was the best I've had in a while. Sibley comes in and says, the best chicken in Louisiana really is at service stations. And that's a fact. I love how you use this term. Most people would just say gas stations, but Sibley distinguished service stations. I love it. So as we always do from Auntie's house, this will be very laid back. I won't go late because even though she says she doesn't hear me at all, that's probably not true. I'm loud. I'm boisterous. I'm going to be low key. I'm probably not going to go that long tonight. So if you do want to get a question in, feel free to super chat it. Now, before we get to some of your questions and comments, there is another topic I want to get into. And I received some messages on my strong take yesterday that Brian Kelly has got to make the playoff in one of the next two seasons. He does. There are just so many things that have broken our way. And I would be a little bit more lenient if it was a 4-team playoff. But this is a 12-team playoff. You're telling me over the next two seasons, LSU has a locked-in SEC victory in Vanderbilt. It's locked in. So you subtract two games from that. That gives you 15 Power 5 games over the next two seasons, not including bowl games and potential SEC championship games and all that. 15 Power 5 games over the next 2 years. You just need to make sure that you don't lose more than two in either of these seasons. I think that's fair. And there is a prevailing thought that three could get into the playoff. And you have to factor in, it's more so the case in maybe baseball and women's basketball, where the LSU brand is probably the number one brand in baseball. And in women's basketball, it's probably the number two or number three brand in the entire sport behind South Carolina and UConn. LSU football is not the biggest brand, but it's definitely in the top five-ish when it comes to television draws. So if it's down between LSU and Oklahoma State for a playoff spot, you better believe LSU is going to get the nod. So you have a little bit of more wiggle room there. We've got to get in the one at least once in the next two seasons. There are so many good players on this team. So many good coaches on this team. And you could make the case that last year you should have been in the playoff. And you should have been. But we all know what happened. So, you know, I think it's fair to say one is great. And I think one would be a great start to the early playoff era. Now,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You notice the title says the CFP plan is in place. And I understand it feels like I'm a little short-sighted here because our recruiting is so freaking good right now for 2025 and the way things are looking for 2026. But I also think there is just too much going in your favor for you to get in. Who are the two best programs in the SEC right now, today? Georgia and Texas. They are not on your schedule, either one of these two seasons. Sets up nicely. Sets up very nicely. And that doesn't mean there's not other tough teams. Oklahoma's good. Ole Miss is good. Alabama is still going to be good, but I'm going to be real. We got to get in at least once. Now, let's go to Danny Girl, coming in hot. Reality here, coming in for a visit. This season, your defense does not scream getting in, and next season, you lose your stellar offensive line. Love you and respect you, but Carter, 10-2 is not a guarantee in. 10-2 in the SEC gets you in. It gets you in. There's just going to be too many good victories. So let's just say LSU goes 10-2 this year. And let's just say it's not a pretty 10-2. Let's just say you get blown out by Alabama and you get blown out by USC in week one. Okay? Let's just say that. You have two of the ugliest losses. Hell, let's even say LSU gets blown out by Ole Miss and they get blown out they lose at Florida for some reason. You see how many big wins are still on that schedule? USC, that's a big win. At South Carolina, not a big win, but it's an impressive win. UCLA, that's another Power 5 win. Okay, let's say you lose to Ole Miss and you lose to Florida. You would still have a road win at Arkansas, a road win at Texas A&M, Alabama home win, Oklahoma home win. So that's ranked win one, ranked win two. I think Texas A&M will be decent this year. That's a ranked win three. USC is likely going to be ranked. So four ranked wins. 10-2, that's getting you in. Ten and two with both SEC losses, but Mizzou and Ole Miss have schedules that could set them up to be 11-1. So how do you get in? Now, that's a really good question, Danny girl. Let's just put it this way. Let's say LSU goes 10-2, and their first loss is a close one versus USC. Let's just say it's a shootout, 41-38. And your second loss is to at Texas A&M. And let's say LSU beats Ole Miss, but Ole Miss goes 11-1. Well, the first thing, Danny girl, that you run into is 11-1 Ole Miss is probably playing in the SEC championship game. Probably. Okay, now it would. There's so many different things that go into it. There's no East and West, and there's 16 teams, so you can have a lot of 11-1 teams, but more than likely they would be 11-2 at the SEC championship game. So if they were to play the SEC championship game and lose again, they would have two losses. LSU would have two losses. LSU beat them head-to-head. LSU's getting in. We are going to the Arkansas game. Still got to work that out one game at a time. Freddie says Missouri over Ole Miss. Man, Missouri, they need to take advantage of this two-year window that they have. Like LSU, they got some breaks to go their way with the schedule. They really, really, really did. Okay? Jalen Thomas asked me, what do I think about walk-on Jalen Thomas? Well, you tell me about yourself, Jalen. There you go. And LA Mom gives us our first super chat. I'm sorry, my phone was over there. And once again, we always prefer the Venmos. Thank you so much, LA Mom. Okay. She says she would vomit if Ole Miss beats us this year. So I'll tell you this, LA Mom. If Ole Miss beats us this year, it's really not that big of a deal. It's really not. I know they would have beaten us two times in a row. And the time we beat Lane with Brian Kelly, we were down 17-3. It would be frustrating. And Devin adds on here, the Ole Miss game, Tiger Stadium will be insane with two E's. And everybody, welcome Devin to the channel, first-time super chatter. Welcome. I believe this is your first time super chatting. Appreciate you, Devin. So we'll talk about the Ole Miss game. I still think LSU wins that game. And I think that's the game that's going to give Ole Miss the biggest trouble. Jared, thank you for the Venmo super chat. He wants to continue the Ole Miss chatter, so we will. The first thing I'll say about Ole Miss, and this will sound so strange, but the only millionaires in sports that are underpaid are the head football coaches of SEC teams, the good ones, okay? Like, when I got the text a few weeks ago, or it was just an ESPN alert, a lot of you got it, Kirby Smart becomes the highest paid football coach in the SEC, $13 million a year. Well, hell, you get $3 million just getting into the playoff as a team. Kirby's a lock to get into a 12-team playoff. So, essentially, you're paying him $10 million a year. And he's elite. He is the best coach in the sport by a mile right now. Especially now that Nick is gone, and he couldn't beat Nick to save his life. Took Jameson Williams tearing his leg up to beat Nick. $13 million. Now, I know Lane got a pay raise. But here we are in the middle of June. And we're not talking about Alabama. LSU fans talk about Alabama 24/7, 366. We're not talking about Georgia. Well, it's partially because they're not on our schedule. We're not even talking about the new rivalry game versus Oklahoma, where we just had this major recruiting battle. We're talking about Ole Miss. What Lane has done to that program, he is underpaid. And there is a reason why he was my number two coach in the head coaching search. He's good, man. He's freaking good, bro. I'm with you, Devin. The Ole Miss game will be at night. Or it's a flex game, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a flex game. I don't remember. But more than likely, that game will be at night. And, man. One thing I would say, though, Devin, and this is very interesting, and LA Mom and Jared, who super chatted, wanted to talk about Ole Miss, is Ole Miss fans are pissed at their schedule. They hated the amount of day games they got. Arkansas fans are pissed with their day game schedule. Pissed. Folks, you got to win games. And I talk about this a lot, but LSU's brand equity is just so ridiculous. Okay. Hey, wants to go to the Ole Miss game. We got to choose. Are we going to the Ole Miss game in Baton Rouge, or are we going to the Arkansas game in Fayetteville? I know Jared's going to the Arkansas game in Fayetteville in Vegas. Arkansas is a fun trip. It is a fun trip. We should do a meetup there instead of Vegas. Are you kidding me? Vegas versus Fayetteville? Give me Fayetteville all day, every day. I'm not losing the same amount of money going to Fayetteville. I thought my wife was now saying, Carter, we got to go to a Savannah Bananas game. I'm down to go see the Nanners. I love me some Savannah Bananas. I do. I would love to be a banana. Like, that is the kind of baseball I get down to. I was an AAU baseball player, and I was terrible. Those guys are actually good, though. Those guys are good. Now, I actually got to text here from my old roommate who's watching. He's like, hey, if you need a place to stay tomorrow in Gonzales, let me know. My old roommate's like very successful. And he's got his own digs. And I'm staying at a nice hotel tomorrow. I've always had this debate about staying at a friend's place versus staying at a hotel. Janice, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate you. Love a good laid-back live stream. Yeah, you want to know a crazy story about the last time? I had a hotel. It's for a comedy thing. And it was in Fayetteville. So I went to do my set, and they had a hotel. And one of my really good friends at Fadeville said, "Hey, don't go to the hotel. Just come stay at our house. You'll have your own bed. We'll make breakfast." I said, "Okay, cool." It's a really good friend of mine. So I go, and the night I didn't do comedy, he said, "Hey, just stay in our spare bedroom." I was like, "Okay, cool." I go to the spare bedroom and I go to sleep at night, and I didn't think anything of it. I wake up and there is a shattered plate on the floor. Just a shattered porcelain plate with all these elaborate designs on it. And turns out it was my friend's wife's great grandmother made that plate in Greece. She was like, she had like a Greek background, and it was one of her most prized possessions. And it was just laying in the bed. I didn't see it. I just laid down, and apparently it knocked over and shattered. I didn't hear it. It was carpet. The floor was made out of carpet. I've never felt worse in my life. I have never felt worse in my life. And every time I see her, I'm just like, man, I did that. I did that. I take responsibility. But it wasn't me. I had a hotel. I had a room. But my friend insisted. He insisted on me staying the night there. But if we're being honest, if we're being completely honest about this, is it really my fault? Or is it really my friend's fault? Why was this priceless item just laying in a bed? Like, it was a blue and white design plate. And the sheets were blue and white. It blended in. And it's night. It was dark in there. We drank quite a bit. I just went and lay down, passed out. It was one of those nights. So I'm leaning tomorrow night just staying in the hotel that was booked instead of going to my friend's house. But this is my former roommate. This is one of my best friends from college. I've not seen them since then. So player X is not on me. Type Y for yes if it is my fault. Type N for no if it's not my fault. I didn't know when I laid, and they did not blame me at all. They did not blame me at all. But that doesn't mean that I didn't feel guilty, and I still don't feel guilty about it. To this day, I still feel terrible about it. I really, really, really do. Sweetest, she's never, because you know, some of your friends' wives just do not like you for whatever reason. But most of my friends' wives, I'm friends with. See, of course, Hey says it was my fault. There's no way it was my fault. No way. I mean, just shattered. And the funniest thing about this, and this is why Fadeville party, ask Jared, partying in Fadeville, you can get carried away. Fadeville is that fun of a city. That is not the craziest Fadeville story of me staying at this person's house. There is another one. I'll save it for another day. And that one's way crazier, and it pissed me off. I was on the bad end of it. I was on the bad end. Thank you, Player X, for the plate fun. Player X, I'll text you. I think I'm heading back on Saturday, but if we do something on Saturday in BR, I'll text you. You might be out of town. You're a busy guy. Don't break your commemorative Dale Earnhardt plates. I didn't know you're a big DE3 guy. Dale's the GOAT, man. Not Jeff Johnson. Not Michael Waltrip. Damn, Player X is in Vegas. Well, maybe you can weigh in. Would you rather be in Vegas or would you rather be in Fayetteville? I mean, of course, I would rather be in Vegas, but I'm not rich. So Fayetteville's more affordable. I love Fayetteville. I really do. It really is a great city. It's not just because all like a good bit of my friends live there. A lot of my friends live in Baton Rouge or Fayetteville. Not Jeff Johnson, number 48. Whatever Johnson. I know he ran a marathon. He's a super athletic guy. Let's go to Sibley with the super. Carter, who has the best players in the SEC? That team usually wins. So here's what I'm going to do, Sibley. I'll tell you which team has grown on me in the past 24 hours. It's coming up right after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Here you go, y'all. Show some love to nooffseason.com. They are covering my lawn bill for the summer. The price of everything's gone up. I called my BR barber for the first time in a decade. And he was like, dude, you call me on the absolute wrongest day. And I just got my hair cut at my normal place before I started driving here. But I wanted to go see him. He's awesome. Darian Kane and Hilltop. He's great. And he said, hey, I had to raise my prices. I was not mad at him. I was not mad at him at all. And you should check him out, Hilltop. He is a magician. He is that good. And I was like, man, for as good as you are and the decades you have, he's still a younger guy. $30 is not too much for a haircut. It's not. When you factor in the rent and all of it, great spot. Check him out, Hilltop in Baton Rouge. I want to plug him. But I wasn't able to go because of some scheduling stuff that he had to deal with. But for those out there struggling, keep pushing. It's tough, man. It's tough. Man, it is hard as hell to live in Baton Rouge right now. Okay. Now, one team that's grown on me over the past couple of weeks is Tennessee. And, you know, I looked at Tennessee last year, and a lot of the games that they did end up losing, a lot of it came down to Joe Milton, honestly. And he turned out to be a fine starting quarterback. But their offensive line got really banged up. They pick up Lance Hurd. You know, I think he's going to be good in that system. I think they get an upgraded quarterback. But I'll be honest. They have grown on me this offseason. I am always going to be a hypo believer. What he's done at Tennessee so far has been ridiculous. And I'll be honest. That is another really good team that we do not have to play next year. Now, are there some Power Hour SEC fans that happen to be Tennessee fans that watch my Power Hour LSU channel? Yes, because I don't go live on the SEC channel. I might be changing that pretty soon. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you would be interested in me doing more live streams on the SEC channel. I would happily do it. I just never got viewers. It is hard to go live on a general non-team channel. But I'm going to Josh Pate that thing. Hell, I'll start next week. We're going to grow it to where there's 200 people in every live. And look, there's one of my Power Hour SEC guys right here, Scott V. We have other Tennessee fans. Cassie, she's probably our most vocal Tennessee fan that watches. But Rick, and we got quite a few Rocky Tops that tune in. I think they're good. I do. It's going to be interesting now. You know, it feels like it's kind of a make or break year for Tim Banks. But I am a big believer in continuity in the SEC. If you have a good OC and you have a good DC, and I think Banks has been more good than bad, I can roll with it. I can live with it. So yeah, we'll start going live on the SEC channel next week. But you know, Tennessee is grown on me. But Sibley Super Chat was pretty simple. Carter, who has the best players in the SEC? That team usually wins. You know who has that philosophy? The best coach in the SEC. Which is Kirby Smart. Kirby just gets the best players. It's that simple. It's that simple. But no, he's good, dude. He's really good. Kirby is a really freaking good coach. And there was this debate on like Kirby chasing Saban and all of that. And one big criticism of Kirby is all the other elite coaches had to really work their way to the top. Nick at Toledo, then Michigan State, then LSU, right? You know, Jimbo worked his way to the top to become a national champion at Florida State, and so on and so on. Kirby walked into a top five job. Well, if that was the case, I mean, I think every single one of us would say Mark Richt was a good coach. Why wasn't Mark Richt as dominant as Kirby was? Why hasn't any of the Georgia eras with Herschel Walker? Georgia's never seen this before. So the guy has to be good, right? And Kirby just says, look, I go get the best players. And look, this is, you know, we made this point earlier. Good to see you, Chance. One Jameson Williams ACL away. And Kirby would have never beaten Saban. Now, Kirby would also say that block punt in the Natty was one of the worst calls in SEC history, and he has a point. Yeah, I like Banks' defense. I mean, he plays a very fun style of defense. And the smoothie is hitting, bro. It is hitting. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I love a good little laid-back live stream. Not the same energy. I kind of want to keep it quiet at Auntie's house. If y'all want her to come on the stream, let me know. I would love to have my Auntie drop in. She doesn't want to be on the show at all. Because last time she went mega viral. And that's okay. That's what I told her. I was like, I need the I need the ratings increase. You lived in Texas 25 years? Oh, man. I was listening to Colin Cowherd on the way in, and they were trying to sell everybody on Oregon and Dan Lanning. Let's go to Kevin, who lives in Georgia. Don't underestimate the Todd Monken effect. I'll say this, man. Taking my LSU bias out of it in 2019 and 2023 LSU, taking that out of the equation, my favorite offense that I've ever watched is that Georgia offense, maybe at any level. It used to be the Mike Martz Rams, but that Georgia offense, sheesh, they were fun. They were really, really, really fun, mainly because of the tight end usage. Like, it is such a weapon if you have elite tight ends, man. It is a cheat code, especially at the collegiate level, man. But any level, it's a cheat code. Janice, once again, thank you for your super. Jared, Julie, Pierce, appreciate you guys. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Taking my bias out of it. So that's taking 19 and 2023 LSU out. Georgia's play calling was so unfreaking believably good on that TCU team. Dude, they toyed with us. Sibley coming in hot. Texas will beat Georgia by 2 touchdowns in the Austin. In Austin, Georgia played in the non-competitive SEC East. So look, you know, obviously I wax poetic about Kirby all the time, but Sibley makes a good point. I mean, this will be the toughest schedule that they have played, like, by far in the Kirby era. A lot of Georgia fans welcome it. And one more thing about the LSU schedule is that not only is it favorable, but Jared made this point, and this is more so an off-season topic for next year, but the home slate for 2025 is going to suck. It is going to suck. Because you're not going to get the Alabama game, and you're not going to get the Ole Miss game in Tiger Stadium. It's just not going to be as good as it is this year. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Sibley, what do you call a vegetarian in Nigeria? A bad hunter. Oh, man. Let's go to Player X's Super Chat. Many two lost teams incoming in 2024. Here would be my question for you, Player X. I know you sent me a video, but Man, is Vegas so boring now that you have to watch me for entertainment? I'm kidding. I'm always so flattered when I get the, hey, I'm watching from Puerto Rico message. It's always so cool. You're watching me on vacation in the middle of June. I didn't on purpose talk about the LSU camps today. There's a lot of that going on right now. I will say LSU is doing some heavy evaluating for 2026 and 2027 in their quarterback room. It is a little too early to for me to be excited about that unless they commit. But it is a little bit different because they are quarterbacks. They are the most important position, and they do commit earlier than any other prospect. So the name to keep an eye out for is Dia Bell or Dia Bell. He is Rajah Bell's son. We've already done a film study on him on Patreon. You should sign up for the Patreon service, patreon.com/LSU football. Only $9.99 a month. You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail with for me. You also get the one-on-one chat with me if you choose to do so. It could be a phone call. It could be a Zoom. And you can ask me anything about LSU football. Let's go to Pegasus here. So hypothetically, if LSU lost to USC and Bama and qualified for the SEC championship, but ranked 10 because of the USC loss, they lose the championship and 10-3 and they are in. Yes. Yes. Because if you lost to USC and you lost to Bama, and you played in the SEC championship game, that game is likely going to be Texas or Georgia, who you're playing in that game. Maybe Tennessee. Maybe it's a Bama rematch. Could be. You still have a win over Ole Miss. You still have a win over Texas A&M at Texas A&M. You still have an Oklahoma win. There's still enough good wins on there. Power five wins. Now, you would need those teams to be good for you to say you comfortably get in. But if you go to the SEC championship game and you lose it, you're still probably getting in. Let's go to Brian. How are they going to determine who goes to the SEC championship if there are three or four teams are tied and they didn't play each other? So this was a pretty spirited debate that I had with Blake on Monday's AYS. And he's jumped on my show and he's chatted about it as well. This is the issue with having a 16-team conference. All right. I want you to, okay, Chance, that's hilarious. Okay. I want you to visualize sports as a whole. Like, just think about sports and ask yourself, how many conferences have 16 teams in them? Well, a lot. You know, it's how many are in the NBA. The NFL has 16-16. About the same in the MLB. Those actually quite a few. But those teams also have divisions. Right? And in the NBA and MLB, you play everyone. There's so many games, right? It is wild to think that the SEC expanded its conference, but got rid of the divisions. And when you have a sport in college football and there's such scarce resources, when it comes to games. You have a 16-team conference and only 8 conference games. And there might be expansion. I've said this, I am not well connected or powerful enough to tell you if this is going to happen. But I do hear things and know some people. I would not be in the least bit shocked if North Carolina joins a conference at some point. So if they join us, someone else is going to have to join. And then you're at 18. Why not make it 20? It's a weird, weird, weird thing. So to your point, Brian, you're going to have a lot of ties in theory. You're going to have a lot of ties. Because there's so many good teams now with the NIL raising the floor of so many different teams. And it's going to be really hard, really, to go undefeated in any year. But then it'll still happen. You're going to have a lot of weird ties and tiebreakers. Sibley says the mental attitude of playing in the SEC needs to change for Texas. I agree. I never try to get too deep into like psyche kind of stuff because it's hard to quantify those things. But, you know, Texas did lose a lot of key pieces. You know, Bo Davis was a big success to what they did. They lost their 2 best wide receivers. Now, they got plenty of resources from the portal with Bond and Nye Black and some other weapons coming over. But still, you lost 2 guys that went pretty high in the NFL draft. And you also lost Jatavion Sanders. It's interesting. I don't know a whole lot about their offensive line outside of Kelvin Banks. So we'll see what they could do next year. Yeah, I think North Carolina would leave in a heartbeat. Once again, that's very speculative on my part. You didn't hear from me. But it would not shock me if they are the number one priority of the SEC over Clemson, over Florida State. Just my hunch as well. It's what I've heard, but it's also just my hunch. Well, once again, I am not Pete Thamel. I'm not Ross Dellinger. Guys that report on that kind of stuff every day. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'll take a few more in the next 5 to 10 minutes. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Super chats have gone up recently. I really appreciate you guys. Like I said, it's hard out there. Cost of everything is up. I really appreciate your generosity. I appreciate, once again, our friends at nooffseason.com. Check them out. Get your sports car consultation. You join the PHL Patreon, I'll give you a sports car consultation. I'm a proud member of the nooffseason.com network. Proud. As you guys know, sports cards are a big fabric of my life, as my wife would tell you. No. That's cool. Player X, can I say where you are, man? I want to see this thing so bad. Let me know if Player X sent me a message of where he is in Vegas. And it is PG-13, by the way. That is so cool, man. What's it look like in person, Player X? He's at the Sphere. Y'all seeing this thing, the Sphere in Vegas? It's this event arena, and it's just this ball. Now look, Chance, look at Chance, right on the money. But you. That's crazy. The Sphere. I'm not going to show any photos of it because it's late, but I want to go. I want to go. I don't know what I would see there, but I bet you it's cool as hell in there. I saw some of the Grateful Dead videos. Wait, it was Grateful Dead, U2, Fish has been in there. To Pegasus. Carter, is it true if you want to know how lousy a defense is, just put a guy in motion? No, that's not true. Because, like, there's some DCs, and once again, this is like higher level stuff, like Brian Flores, like, you can motion so much that you can show that the pre-snap motion is a man indicator, but you still play cover two behind it, or you can sink into quarters where, let's just say, like, a guy does go in motion and a corner runs with them. You can have it built into your defense that the rules change. If the motion man goes here, we're still going to play zone behind it. Like, defenses are complex enough to work around the motion. But how many defenses actually do that? Not many. They really don't. Like, not many defenses really, really are elaborate enough. So, yeah, you should use pre-snap motion a lot. So, obviously, you know, you think pre-snap motion, you think the Miami Dolphins, and honestly, Mike Dimbrock was a pre-snap motion fiend. Like, he did a lot in 2022 when our offense was good but not great, and he did a lot in 2023 when our offense was one of the best of all time. I like pre-snap motion a lot. I think you'll see a lot of teams do pre-snap motion. I think you don't need it, per se. I mean, I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think the Browns in the NFL are really good offense. They don't do a lot of pre-snap motion. But then, yeah, the Dolphins, they do a lot of pre-snap motion. You know, Tennessee, they don't do a lot of pre-snap motion with their receivers, but they do with their tight end from time to time. Ole Miss doesn't do a lot of motion, but they're going really fast. So, you know, defensively, it just comes down to, you know, how you rep it, how you prepare for each and every week. And one thing you can always do, and it'll always be the great equalizer when you go up against good teams, is if you can defend the good teams with the light box, you'll win. You'll win. You know, part of why Tennessee has played so poorly versus Georgia these last 2 years is that they can't run the ball. And they have one run by Jalen Wright. But other than that, they really can't run the football in Georgia because they can defend Tennessee with the light box, and those wide splits just aren't as important. So, yeah, I mean, pre-snap motion can help you identify defense, but I don't necessarily think it can show if a defense is just lousy. Now, I could show tendencies, and it does help your quarterback quite a bit, but and there's all kinds of different motions. For those that aren't familiar, pre-snap motion is what you would think it is. It's one guy motioning at the snap. Obviously, only one player. Actually, no, multiple players can motion. But yeah, it's interesting. All right, y'all. I'll be meeting potentially Brian tomorrow. I'm pretty excited. The key to beating Georgia is a running game, which is why this LSU offensive line is good. As advertised, I believe we can beat them. I hope so, man. Make sure I don't miss anything there. And that'll do it for me. I'll let you guys know if we do something on Saturday. I'd love to. I want to shout out our top super chatter of the evening. It was Janice on Venmo was our top Venmo super chatter. And Player X and Sibley. Sibley beat Player X by 1 cent, one measly cent. And Devin also dropped a super chat. Yeah, Scott, I don't see it with Nico's running ability. I know some people probably think he is a, like, good runner. I just don't think he's an explosive runner. I think it's kind of like the Joe Milton thing again. Two quarterbacks with supremely special arms, but people think they are both better runners than they actually are. But Nico is good. I'm still not fading my Nico love for next year. Squirrel White, Brew McCoy back. You bring in the Tulane transfer, should be pretty good. The Oregon transfer going into year two with Tennessee. Number one, Thompson.
pretty too.
Sibley gets another top super chat. What a beast. I wouldn't say whipped, but they played really well. Missouri played a really, really good football game. And I know it's all about did they actually win. They didn't, but they played. That was a valiant, valiant effort. Yeah, I still haven't met Sib. But we're definitely going to meet up in Vegas if Sibley's going. All right, y'all. That'll be it for me. Good to have Player X back in the chat tonight, even though he's all the way in Vegas. It is. Power Hour. LSU, boom. And tonight, doing that lemony twang, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.